1. The case for action. Obesity is a significant and growing problem in England and already places a high cost on individuals and society. The prevalence of obesity among adults in England rose from 14.9% to 25.6% between 1993 and 2014. See Note 1. Nearly a third of children aged 2 to 15 are overweight or obese. See Note 2. The direct cost to the NHS includes £6.1 billion a year on overweight and obesity-related ill health. See Note 3. Type 2 diabetes, one of the main consequences of obesity, costs the NHS £8.8 billion annually. See Note 4. If action is not taken to curb rising obesity rates, by 2050, nearly 60% of adult men, 50% of adult women, and 25% of children will be obese. See Note 5. Excess calorie consumption, which increases the risk of weight gain and obesity, has been shown to be linked to high sugar intake. See Note 6. According to the World Health Organization, national dietary surveys suggest that drinks containing high amounts of free sugars can be a major source of unnecessary calories in people's diets, particularly in children and young adults. See Note 7. Soft drinks, excluding fruit juice, are one of the largest sources of sugars in adults and the largest single source of sugar for children aged 11 to 18 years, providing 29% of their daily sugar intake. See Note 8. Sugar consumption is also one of the main causes of tooth decay in children, with tooth extractions now the leading reason for hospital admissions for children aged 5 to 9. See Note 9. Consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages, SSBs, has been found to be more strongly associated with weight gain than any other food or beverage. There is also strong evidence for the independent role of the intake of SSBs in the promotion of weight gain and obesity. See Note 10. People who consume sugary drinks regularly, 1 to 2 cans a day or more, have a 26% greater risk of developing type 2 diabetes than people who rarely have such drinks. See Note 11. The Scientific Advisory Committee on Nutrition recommends that consumption of sugar-sweetened drinks should be minimized by both children and adults. See Note 12. The government has accepted these recommendations and has integrated them into the official UK advice on what constitutes the best diet for health. As Europe's largest employer, with over 1.3 million staff, the NHS committed in its overall strategy, the 5-year forward view, to improve the health of its workforce. See Note 13. A recent report found obesity to be a significant health problem amongst NHS staff, with nearly 700,000 NHS staff estimated to be overweight or obese. See Note 14. Rising rates of obesity amongst NHS staff are not only bad for the personal health of those individuals, but also affects the NHS's ability to give patients credible and effective advice about their health. See Note 15. Over and above the commitments made to our staff and patients, the 5-year forward view also committed the NHS to improve the health of the nation by leading by example. NHS premises receive heavy footfall from the communities of which they are a part, with over 1 million patients every 36 hours, 22 million A&E attendances, and 85 million outpatient appointments each year. See Note 16. The food and drink sold in these locations can send a powerful message to the public about healthy consumption. Although no single policy will provide the solution to reducing sugar consumption, measures to reduce the sale of sugar-sweetened beverages have gained increasing international support. SSBs, as opposed to foods, are the common target for these measures, because they represent empty calories and contain little to no other nutritional value. See Note 17. As set out above, SSBs have also been shown to have a particularly strong association with obesity. A World Health Organization study shows that fiscal policies on sugary drinks can lower consumption of these products, as well as contributing towards a reduction in obesity, as well as type 2 diabetes and tooth decay. See Note 18. Specifically, the report states that a levy that increases the retail price of sugary drinks by 20% is likely to result in a proportional reduction in the consumption of sugary drinks. Governments around the world, including Mexico, Hungary, and Australia, have acted on this advice by implementing fiscal policies on sugar. See Note 19. Some have gone further. Hospitals in Nelson and Marlborough in New Zealand have now banned the sale of sugary drinks. See Note 20. Specifically, analysis of Mexico's SSB tax suggests the tax may substantially decrease morbidity and mortality from diabetes, while also reducing healthcare costs. See Note 21. We acknowledge the efforts already made by the food and drink industry to reduce the sugar content of some of their product lines. For example, one large multinational producer has committed to reduce sugar across its portfolio by 20% by 2020. Whilst these efforts have clearly had an effect on consumption patterns, UK soft drink manufacturers have reduced sugar intake from their products by 16% since 2012, see Note 22, we share the government's view that the reduction must now be accelerated. We recognise that the UK government's proposed soft drinks industry levy will, if introduced in April 2018, constitute a financial disincentive on the production of SSBs. However, we believe that the NHS should be at the leading edge of national efforts, setting an example to society at large with an additional measure brought in from April 2017. While the nationwide levy is introduced, it will further strengthen the effect of any proposed NHS-specific measures. In light of the consultation responses to the draft NHS standard contract, see Note 23, for 2017-2019, we propose two measures and seek alternative proposals to reduce sales of sugar-sweetened drinks on NHS premises. Firstly, we are consulting on a fee to be paid by vendors of SSBs on NHS premises. It is proposed that all proceeds will be reinvested in staff health and well-being programmes, including on physical activity schemes. Secondly, we are also consulting on a measure that would very directly achieve the policy aim, namely, an outright ban of SSBs being sold on NHS premises. This consultation relates firstly to the choice between these two alternative options for the SSB measure, and secondly, to various aspects of those options. If a better alternative to the two proposed options is raised in consultation, we will also give it serious consideration.